Merry Christmas, everybody. How are you? Good. All right. Well, I'm excited to be able to just share a couple things out of the Word together as we dial in on the story of Jesus. And what is that story? Isn't that the question? If you've been here with us at Gateway over 4 weeks now, as we've worked through this idea of Advent conspiracy, we've spent 4 weeks unpacking the Christmas story, right? From wise men, shepherds, angels, talking about Santa and Christmas trees. And we, as a church, just came to the realization, and I'm sure many of you have as well, that the way we celebrate Christmas, it's often far more cultural than religious, isn't it? I mean, there's just so many things that we bring to this, and so many of the things that we love about Christmas, if we were honest, they're shaped far more by culture and by sentimentality and tradition than they are by faith. Many of them have nothing to do with the story. I was listening to the radio yesterday as I was driving around, sports talk radio, doing a little Family Feud knockoff, and so 100 people surveyed, top five answers, try to get on the board, you know, the game, yes. And they said, outside of family, what's the best thing about Christmas? Outside of family. So they took family off the board, which is one of those token answers that everyone's going to say, which is funny because most people, many people love family at Christmas time, but many people that I speak to find family to be one of the more challenging things about the holidays as well. But they said, what are the top five? And so they're trying to guess the answers. And I'm saying, well, just go for the easy one because Jesus will be on there, right? Faith, anything, wise men, shepherds, anything about the nativity, it's got to be in the top five, right? Because we're a country that self-identifies about 70% or more as Christians, so certainly Jesus makes the top five things about Christmas, and yet he didn't, right? And not shocking, but a little surprising, but even after all of that, and after 4 weeks of unpacking this story, just today I was sitting at my own kitchen counter eating Christmas cookies that someone had brought by, right? Just these awesome Christmas cookies, sipping eggnog, the tree smells like pine, and I thought, I love Christmas, right? And nowhere in my own thoughts at that moment was there anything about this true story of Jesus coming to earth as a man. And so what we've been trying to do, we don't beat ourselves up for who we are, right? We're products of our culture, but as people of the story, right? As people who believe that the Christmas story of Jesus is actually true, right? And that it's profound and it's life-changing and that God's story is still unfolding and it connects to our own story, we want to do some work and reclaim Christmas. And so what we've been doing, if you haven't been with us, is we just reframed the question from how do we celebrate a holiday to how do we respond to Jesus? How do we respond to the truth of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, which is what Advent means? And so shifting that question just from a holiday to a person, we have found very helpful, at least at home, as we've been processing this with our kids, because that is the story. Christmas is a story of the truth that theologians call the incarnation, that God took on flesh. In Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul writes about this idea, the Christmas story, the incarnation. He writes about it in amazement as he talks about the humility of Jesus becoming a man. Let me read this to you from my notes. He writes this, who in being Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness, he humbled himself. He became a man. God takes on flesh. God in flesh. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, among us, like us in every way, yet without sin. That is the story. And John, in his gospel, speaking about this, and we talked about it last week in John 1, speaking of Jesus, John calls him the Word. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And he says something amazing. The Word took on flesh. The Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He became flesh. And we've seen his glory. Christmas is about God's glory. And so here's a really important thing that we've been trying to dive into, that Christmas is not particularly a birthday celebration, right? That's an easy entry point. That's easy for my three-year-old to start there, right? But it's not just that. It is much more than a birthday story. It is the gospel story. Christmas is a celebration of the entirety of the gospel, the glory of God overcoming evil through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus. And in Philippians 2, Paul doesn't stop just with the birthday story, with the incarnation. He goes beyond it to the purpose of it, that not only did Jesus come down, not only did God become a man, lowering himself, not only did he become human, but he took on the form of a servant, and he served us even to death, Paul writes, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, he says, to the glory of God the Father. Christmas is a story of God's glory. It's much, much more than a birthday party, right? Millions of baby boys are born every single day. I'm certain that some baby boy will be born on the 25th in Bethlehem, even this year, right? That the birth itself is not the most significant spot. The story of Christmas is a celebration of the entirety of the gospel. And Christmas Day does something so great. It points us to that moment where God entered in, where God became a man, where God said, I'm going to make my name holy. I'm going to glorify myself in the earth by triumphing over evil through the birth of my son. Christmas Day was the truth of it. The words Jesus spoke of the incarnation were scandalous. It was considered blasphemy. God becomes a man, lives a perfect life, and becomes for us a savior by his death and resurrection. And I know that's Good Friday and Easter, but I can't help but think of that at Christmas, because that is the story. And so, from how do we celebrate a holiday to how do we respond to this truth, how do we respond to this person, Jesus, God with us, that's the great question. And our response tonight is to worship, to rejoice. Amen? We're gonna worship and we're going to rejoice, and certainly many ways we can respond. I would love for you, as you leave and as you celebrate Christmas Eve tomorrow, Christmas Day, and the rest of this season, that you it would not just be a celebration of an event, but a person, and you would live daily in the truth of the gospel and at what it means for you. That just as God takes on flesh, just as God the Father sends his son Jesus, so now Jesus sends us in flesh. The incarnation continues to go. Christmas is a missionary story, right? God sending his son, and then Jesus sends us. And so daily, we live that out in flesh, just as Jesus did, which is really cool if you think about it, because in that way, every day is Christmas, right? Kids, did you hear that? From now on, every day is Christmas. Would you, if you have a Bible, open to Matthew 2. If not, it'll be right here on the screen. Join me as we continue to read in the Nativity, and the band's going to come up, and we're going to worship. We're going to respond and rejoice in worship. Matthew 2. Now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written of the prophet, 'O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least. From you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what the time of the star meant. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's what we're going to do tonight. Can I get an amen on that? Can you rejoice exceedingly with great joy? In Luke, it's said like this, I bring you great news, right? I bring you the gospel. I bring you good news that will make you rejoice. It'll make you glad. Today in the city of David, to you, a Savior has been born. That's incredible. That's worth celebrating. Amen? All right, would you stand with us? We're going to sing. Now, this is my favorite Christmas song, and this might be the greatest song ever written. I talked about it last week as we sing O Holy Night. Just a beautiful responsive. We couldn't sing it because we didn't have the skills or the pipes, so I'm so glad that you guys can lead us in it. I called Celine Dion, but she's booked. And so listen to this line. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Amen? Let's sing.